Hey, loves, my name is Renee, and I have the pleasure of interviewing Jen on her first podcast episode of When the Vow Breaks. Jen, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, loves, I am Jen with When the Vows Break, and I am excited to be getting interviewed by Renee this evening so that you guys can get an up close and personal idea of who I am and my story and the current journey that I'm going through.
Hey, Jen, so the introduction was kind of brief. Why don't you get more in depth with telling the loves more about you?
Well, I am 39. It's a milestone year, so I will be 40 in October. And I feel like I'm starting my life all over again. I was married for 10 years. He was my high school sweetheart, so altogether we were together for 23 years, and we recently got divorced. And that was it. Like, I feel like I'm finding Jen.
That's good. When was your wedding date?
June 11th, 2007.
When was your divorce date?
August 29th, 2017.
When did you first meet this individual?
It was October of 1994.
How did you guys meet?
We met in high school. Wow. So, yeah, we met in high school through mutual friends, but we went to the same high school.
Did you notice any red flags?
When I first met him, no, because you know when something's fresh,
yeah,
everybody sends their representative.
Exactly.
And you know, when you feel like, oh, this is puppy love and you got the butterflies going on in your stomach, even if there was a red flag, right, I don't think I would have seen it. So it doesn't matter.
Totally ignored it, right? Like, yeah, most women do.
Yeah.
How did you know he was the one?
You know, the funny thing is, I think maybe 3 months into our relationship, I looked at him one day and I was like, you're going to be my husband and I'm going to have your children. And it came And I'm like, what, 16?
Young, already put the stamp on it.
So, and I just, you know, I'm just one of those people that when I see something and not what I want, I go for it. And at that time, that's what I wanted. And I made it known.
Yes.
So I told him.
And he accepted, girl. He was there. He was ready.
Yeah, he looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, yeah, okay.
How was the proposal?
You know what? So we were together for so long before we decided to get married. There was like 11 years of history there.
Wow.
And because I was a mother first, mm-hmm, by the time we got married, we already were 3 kids in.
Wow.
Yeah. So I pretty much gave him an ultimatum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, look, I feel like I don't want to play house anymore.
Right.
We keep growing this family. Can we make it official? And he was like, if anyone deserves it, it's you. And that's pretty much how it went.
So let's go back to that comment of, if anyone else deserves it, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody else listening to this, that's like an obvious red flag, right? Because that means that, of course, there were other, you know, players, mm-hmm, on the team. So I guess, was that something that, one of, you know, you kind of looked over, or it was more of, you know what, he picked me, he chose me?
Well, it was kind of like he picked me, he chose me, but also pride was a big thing for me.
Okay.
Pride was like, you know, first of all, we were in high school, and I feel like a lot of things that we went through were because we were naive and young.
Mm-hmm.
Not to dismiss anything that happened.
Right.
But I'm just like, you know, stupid stuff happens when you're a teenager. And even though I made those comments like, oh my gosh, you're going to be my husband, I'm going to have your baby, you know, I mean, I'm glad it happened. But at that point, I was just like, that's what I want. So I'm going to say it and speak it into existence. But stuff happens, and I think my main thing at that time, we had gone through a lot, was, mm-hmm, I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be another single Black mother growing up in America. I'm already, you know, a teen mom. I had 3 kids by the time I was 21.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were like 3 under 3.
Yeah.
So I had 3 kids by the time I was 21. And it made a, it made me like really want to work for my family. Like I wanted my family to work.
Right.
So anything that came in the way, I was willing to do whatever I needed to do to make it work. Because at this point, the only thing that really matters to me is my family.
Right.
So.
How did your parents feel? I guess that would be vice versa on his end too, because mm-hmm. you guys have kind of grown into this, you know, relationship slash marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So how did your parents feel about you being with someone so young?
My parents caught the red flags. So my parents weren't really gung-ho about a lot of things because they clearly saw signs of, you know, just because you guys have kids together doesn't mean that it's the end-all and be-all. And I did have moments of, you know, oh my gosh, I know that I'm young and I still have my whole life ahead of me, but who the heck is going to want me with 3 kids? You know, how am I going to move on? And all of those things were going through my head. So I feel like at that time, it was not my breaking point or anything, but I feel like I settled.
Yeah.
I just settled because this is life as I know it. I became complacent. And I mean, this is the man that is the father of my children. So mm-hmm. like, why not? I'm just going to go with the flow and compromise and try to make it work.
What about his parents? Were they kind of skeptic of the whole situation of getting married so young and starting a family? Or were they kind of on board with the situation?
I think when our marriage came around, they were on board because we'd already been together for so long. But they knew his history as well.
Yeah. And so I know the mom was like, girl.
Well, you know, he's a mama's boy and moms are going to protect their sons. I mean, and she was like a mom to me too, because I grew up with her. She was like a adult woman figure in my life. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, she would talk to him and everything, but that's her blood and she's going to protect him. Right. You know what I mean? And not for nothing. Like I'm a good girl. I wasn't, you know, I feel like for him, they were like, yo, you got a good girl, you know? Yeah. And so it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So most people would say kind of at that young age, kind of latching on to someone
mm-hmm.
so young, they would kind of stem that to having, you know, father issues or abandonment issues at a, you know, at a young age growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you ever had those type of problems, or you can kind of relate back to maybe that's the reason why you latched on and fought so hard for the relationship?
I definitely have daddy issues. I know I do. Like, my parents divorced when I was not yet in middle school, but in elementary school, like towards the end, 5th grade, 6th grade. My parents separated and divorced, and I loved both of my parents, but I didn't really want to choose between them. So my grandmother raised me, or my grandparents raised me, my mom's parents.
Okay. And that's normal back then.
Yeah. And I loved my grandparents. And so I still had communication with my parents and I still would see them. But I did see what my parents' marriage went through.
Right.
And so because I saw that, I knew what I didn't want.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so even for that in my relationship, I saw triggers like, oh my God, my dad did this. This means this, you know?
Yes. So relating everything back.
Yes.
Like, look, Negro.
Right.
For real. So I know we talked about, you know, you being young and having kids, and then the proposal was kind of just there
mm-hmm.
based on the ultimatum that you gave him. Tell me about the wedding day. How did you feel? Were you second guessing yourself? Was the family coming around like, oh no, you're not going to do this?
Okay. Well, so no, family was around and they were very supportive. One thing that kind of led to the ultimatum was I got pregnant again.
Oh.
So I was just like, am I really going to bring another child into this world and I'm just going to be like, you're living
another
baby mama. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm popping them out for you. Like, we're doing everything together. We're living together. We're paying bills together. This, that, right. and third, you know, let's make it official. So no, parents were around, they were supportive. I didn't want any big anything. We went to the Justice of the Peace and mm-hmm. our family was there. And then we had a party afterwards and we celebrated.
That's, you know what, that's how I would do, honestly. I just, you know what, let's just get this over with, have a party or move on, destination. That's all me. I don't have time for the shenanigans of others.
Right.
But if you do, do you.
Right.
That, you know, I like to save my coins. So, tell me a time where you were at the highest peak of your marriage. Like, it was total bliss.
I would probably say, and this is probably one-sided, but I feel like the first year mm-hmm. was great.
Really?
Because it was just fresh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point, I'm a new mom again.
Right.
And so, but after that first year, I feel like it just snowballed after that.
Really?
Yeah.
So when did the first signs start coming about during the marriage? Because you look at things in a totally different light mm-hmm. when you're married versus when you're a girlfriend, because now it's like you're official.
Right.
So when did you start noticing those signs that you were ignoring?
He became absent a lot, which I was kind of sort of used to, because he's one of those people that always is out and about. He's a people person. He gets invited everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of opposites in the sense of, yeah, I love having a social life and I don't mind going out from time to time, but mm-hmm. I'm an ambivert. I have to mentally prepare myself to be around people and to deal with people. And when I'm done, I'm done. I want to retreat back to my house.
Right.
So a typical chill night for me is just being home in the bed in the PJs, watching movies, being mm-hmm. on my laptop, listening yes. to music. I don't have to be out, and I don't like the club like that. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm there for an event, cool, but am I going to be at the club every Friday night? No. Right. So he's that type of person though. Mm-hmm. And he was also like in a bike club. And so the bike club always has bike events. And so when he started becoming more and more absent, it was like, oh, I had this bike event to go to. Oh, I had this to go to. And then he had a position in the bike club.
Right.
So now I got to play my role.
Exactly.
And so I was just like, all right, cool. So I started to say things and, mm-hmm. you know, when you start to notice things sometimes and say things, you might come off as being naggy, like yeah. you're nagging, or mm-hmm. it's all in your head, girl, you're tripping.
Right.
It's nothing it's like not that. Me. Right.
Yes.
So that was going on.
You know, I love you.
Girl. All of that, mm-hmm. all of that was going on. But then, you know, I'll give you enough rope so you can hang yourself. So, right. Whoever it was that he started dealing with, I guess they couldn't get him fully the way that they wanted him, because mm-hmm. he had a whole nother life that they probably didn't know about. And if they knew about it, they just didn't care.
Wow.
And so these new age women mm-hmm. want you to know that they have your husband, or they've been sleeping with your husband.
Oh,
or
wow.
I just want you to know that I've been dealing with your husband for the last 6 months, or whatever.
Side chicks trying to move into first position, huh?
Yes, you know, I'm getting Facebook messages, emails, and I'm a very transparent person, and I'm mm-hmm. very, even with my jobs when I was in corporate, I did a lot of media stuff.
Right.
So it's not hard to find me. Like, right. if I work for a newspaper, radio station, whatever, I'm on the masthead. All you got to do is Google my name and it's going to come up and mm-hmm. say, oh, this is her position in the company.
Right.
So I would get emails at work and
oh,
yeah.
Real bold.
Yes.
Real bold. Okay.
So, and it's just, you know, I would go, what is this? You know,
mm-hmm.
and I never responded. I never responded because I was just like, I have nothing to say to these chicks.
Right.
And I just don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get lots of messages. And once the messages started coming in, I was just like, okay, it's time to reevaluate.
Like, describe a message. Like, you know,
I mean, I had one girl email me pictures to prove, because she thought that her telling me wasn't enough.
Oh.
Here are pictures to prove to you
what?
That I've been with your husband They're all cuddly, lovey-dovey in the photos.
No, and he just allowing her to flick it up with him. Just, it's okay.
Hey, I guess so. Mm. So I was just like, you know, and then she came at me and was like, trying to debo me out of my marriage. Like, you're keeping me from my happily ever after. I was like, what?
Wait, what?
So you're dating a married man and his wife is keeping you from your happily ever after? I think what? You need to go reevaluate.
Right. And what did he say about this?
You know, he's always been the type that will deny.
Right. As each man, you know, will. You know, right.
So deny. And then make it seem like it's really not what it is. You know, like, girls, women, whatever, head over heels in love with this guy.
Right.
Oh, it wasn't nothing. I'm not even into her like that. You know, it was just a fuck. Really?
Okay. But you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place.
You really shouldn't have. You shouldn't have. Mm. So, I don't know.
So, I guess that would be part of the lowest kind of peak of the marriage. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of the more extreme? What was something that you can say, you know what? My foot is almost out the door.
When he started being served with child support papers and DNA testing to prove paternity of children that were made while we were married. I mean, I got mail one day and I was just like, what is this? And I opened it because I have a son and my son has his father's name. So They both have the same name. So I'm thinking it's for my son. That's the only reason I opened the mail. So open the mail and it's like, oh, you're being called to take a paternity test so that we can prove paternity so that you can pay child support for these twins.
Wow.
I was like, what? I think at that point I lost it. But during our marriage, he fathered four children with three different women outside of our marriage. And we have four children together.
That's a lot. Mm. So a lot of people would say, after you receive those paternity tests in the mail and different things, why did you stay?
At that point we were struggling and I still think it was a pride thing. Like, okay, I know you did this, but are you ready to be a reformed person? Are you ready to deal with the situations that you created?
Yeah.
And if so, it's going to take a whole lot of Jesus and some therapy, but mm-hmm. if you are ready to move past certain things, because now I have to think about, if I'm going to remain in this marriage, you've brought all these children into this world that I'm going to have to kind of sort of accept as stepchildren and half siblings to my children.
Right.
It was a hard pill to swallow. Like, we're divorced now, so I didn't have to swallow it. Yeah. But that pill was stuck in my throat.
Right.
like I couldn't swallow.
Exactly.
So I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know. But he wasn't willing to put in the work, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you feel like he kind of had that attitude? Well, you know, that's just what happened. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Let's just move past it. It happened. It happened. Let's move on. I'm like, we can move on, but these are still living, breathing children that are going to be growing up in my face. You know, we are going to have to get to a point where we deal with the root of the problem.
Right.
We can't just, you know, keep ignoring it and trying to live day to day, because we're still going to, like, the same issues are going to keep coming up.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Now, what was your point? What was your breaking point? When you knew that it was time for you to kind of, this isn't working. It's time for us to end. This is when the vow broke.
When I just really saw that he wasn't trying to do anything, he moved outside the home.
Okay.
And at one point he was staying with friends and then he was staying with his dad. And then he mm-hmm. moved in with a side chick that he was cheating on me with while we were married.
Oh.
And at that point I was like, okay, deuces. I was like, I can see that you're not even, you know, trying to work on anything. You don't want to repair anything, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so when he made that move, I was just like, I'm done, you know?
Yeah. Do you see some of the behaviors? Does that remind you of when you first kind of met? Were they the same behaviors that you ignored when you were that 16-year-old young woman?
Probably.
Besides the children.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a bad looking guy. He's very attractive, and you know, he has a personality that will draw someone to him. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that I had to get used to, because no matter where we were, you know, he's a people person. He's friendly. He's going to speak to you. He's one of those people that knows everybody.
Right.
And I was just like, okay. And I'm the complete opposite. I keep to myself. I don't want to know everybody. You know, I just want to, like, can we just go out to eat and just eat and that be that? Like, why we always have to walk and bump into somebody that you know? So, but no, it took a lot of getting used to, but he's just that type of person. And I think back then I did overlook a lot of things that I probably should have said, this is a red flag you need to write down, because, you know, this might not be what you want.
Now, would you say that you grew in the relationship and he stayed the same based on the behaviors outside of the children?
People change, and I think we might have both grown. We just grew apart. And as far as maturing, I think that we probably both did mature, but I even think to this day, he still has lessons that he needs to learn, and until he's ready to deal with his demons, he's going to have a cycle going on. Like, I wish him the best. Mm-hmm. I don't wish nothing ill upon him, but I am a firm believer in karma. Mm-hmm. And he might think that everything is just, you know, great where he's at. But if you still haven't dealt with your demons, you're just going to have a repeat. And God bless the chick he's with, because that was a, like, 4 baby mamas and 8 kids. Like, was that relationship goals for her? I don't know.
Right.
But more power to you.
Now, some of our loves would ask that, you know, we've talked about everything that he's done, right? Now, I'm sure some of our loves will want to know, looking back, do you feel that you could have done something a little bit different? Or did he say something or mention something to you that you weren't doing that would kind of lead him to astray?
I'm not perfect, but I did strive to be a good wife and a good mother. Again, I was a teenager, you know, we did get married later. So I was learning a lot of things along the way. Mm-hmm. Being a product of a household that was broken myself, and that I saw toxic stuff, I don't think I saw until I got with my grandparents what a wife is supposed to do, how a wife is supposed to be.
Okay.
And even though I did pay attention to that stuff, that's a couple of years prior to, like, when I met him. So that's still fresh and new. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I had grown up with this vision of this is how you're supposed to be, you know? Right. Do I have the fairy tales in my mind of, oh my gosh, I wish I had that Huxtable love. I wish I had that Huxtable household.
Right.
Of course. But realistically, that is not what happened. And I can only attribute a lot of things to the fact that, you know, I was a 15-year-old girl when I saw this guy.
Right.
And a lot of things happened within a 23-year span. Mm-hmm. And I can't take any of it back. But would I do things differently? Had I known better? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What's one thing that you would have done differently?
I love my kids to death. But I probably would have waited to be a mother. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have been, you know, doing everything for everyone else. And I kind of lost me in the process, because I always think of others first. But, you know, when you have kids, that's what it's about. Right. You know, you about your kids. And when I was married, it was about my husband and my kids. And in the process, I kind of lost who Jen was. So now that I am divorced and I'm practically an empty nester, because my children are young adults. I have a daughter that's in her junior year of college. She's going to graduate next year. I have a 20-year-old son. Mm-hmm. He's, like, doing his own thing. I have an 18-year-old who is about to graduate from high school and she's going into the military. Mm-hmm. And then I have a 10-year-old and he is a grown man trapped in a 10-year-old's body just because he's always been around young adults and, right. you know, adults. And I try to socialize him with people his age, but he's a little big man.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of happens yeah. in that way. Now, do you kind of find yourself missing the married life?
I feel like I was single for a long time while I was still married.
Ooh, that's a great.
I was living single while I was married because he was absent a lot. And I got used to being alone, which is fine. You know, mm-hmm. I have my friends, so it wasn't really like, oh God, I'm lonely. You know, I go out a lot. I'm sort of a socialite with some of the things that I do for my business and career wise. Mm-hmm. So I was always doing something or going somewhere and being surrounded by people. But as far as like a relationship, I did not have like a significant other. When we were separated, I still honored my vows because I wanted to leave with a fresh slate so that I could say, this wasn't on me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I still thought that until our marriage was truly over, that I was still his wife. Like, yeah. no matter what he was doing, I don't care that you're living with another chick and you're out in the street doing this, that, or the third, I'm still your wife. So two mm-hmm. wrongs don't make a right. I'm not going to do this just because you're doing that. I don't yeah. play the tit for tat thing. So I'm going to just sit up here and I'm going to focus on my kids, focus on my career and do what I need to do. And when it's finalized, it's finalized and I'll move on with my life.
Do you feel like you took the marriage more, I would say, you were more married than he was?
Probably, because for him, he's like, oh, it's just a piece of paper. Like, it's just a piece of paper. I definitely, like, spiritually everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And even though one thing I can say is that I have grown spiritually through this whole process. And that alone to me was just like, you know, things might be hard, but I'm just going to lean on God right now and right. my faith and something good is going to happen. Like, no matter what, like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. This isn't the end. Life oh, goes yeah. on, you know, things like that. So
how was the divorce process?
It wasn't really hard. Like, I didn't even use a lawyer. I kind of did everything.
So who threw it out first, I guess?
I filed. Okay. I was, and I was very angry. And I know they say don't do things when you're angry, but I feel like if I hadn't have done it, I'd still be married right now. So I got really angry and, we'd gotten into this huge fight and I was like, you know what? This is a wrap. I can't even do this anymore. We can't even talk without arguing. We are fighting. We can't be civil. It's a done deal. And I went and I filed like within 24 to 48 hours.
Now, was that argument over the additional children or was this argument of something else that kind of stemmed from that whole situation?
It was pretty much about like his visitation with the kids and who he has the kids around. And, you know, I felt like my kids don't really need to meet everybody that you're sleeping with. I mean, my kids have never really seen me with anybody outside their dad. Mm-hmm. I feel like even now that my children are grown, with the exception of the 10-year-old, they would kind of cut their head to the side if I, you know, brought somebody right. around mm-hmm. because they just don't know, exactly. you know.
Like, Mom, who is that?
Yeah. And I think that children are different with their moms than they are with their dads for some reason. And I don't yes. know. And so I would have to know that if I brought someone around my children, A, you've kind of been in my life for a little while before that even happens. Because right. it's going to take some real consideration for me to do that. And B, you know, I would have to prep the kids for it. Like, it just can't be like a pop-up.
Right.
Not gonna happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So after that huge argument, you went and you filed.
Yes.
And how did he feel when he received the papers?
I don't know. I have no idea. Because at this point, we weren't speaking and the fight got really bad. So I went and I filed the order of protection. So we couldn't even like be in the same place. Mm-hmm. We couldn't, no contact basically. So yeah, we didn't speak, but he didn't show up to the hearing. So whatever, you don't need your spouse to show up to the hearing to get a divorce done. So he didn't even show up and I got divorced.
Really? So yeah. Was that, did you have to do the whole 1 year wait or?
We did, but the thing is that he had like left the house already. So like I said, I was used to being alone. He was absent a lot. Mm-hmm. So when he left, I just started the clock.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well, that's smart. That's, mm-hmm. that's a tip, loves, right there. When you leave, start the clock.
Start that clock. Yep.
So how has it been during the divorce proceedings? So, he didn't show up at the divorce proceedings. Mm-hmm. Girls, that gym, remember the clock starts. Now it's time to start the custody battle. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
We're actually still in the middle. But again, I have 3 young adult children, so they don't count because they're all over 18.
Right.
They can see him when they want to see him or not see him when they don't want to see him. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much up to them. Our youngest one right now, he's set for like every other weekend and he can have some days during the week on the weekends that he does not have him. So he basically gets to see him like for a couple of days every week, but mm-hmm. I have primary custody, and we both have joint legal.
Has this been hard on your youngest son?
It definitely has. He definitely has adjustment issues. And with me, it's just trying to have a consistent schedule of things going on. But even just for him, going on weekends is an issue because he's used to having him around or not having him at all. Because okay. when he used to be absent, he was like in another state. And so at that point, my son understood, okay, well, I can talk to him on the phone, but he's like 13 hours away. So
right.
I know I'm not going to see my father. Mm-hmm. But now that we live in the same state, just in different cities, mm-hmm. and he says things to him like, oh, you can see your daddy whenever you want. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come around, you know, which I mean, technically it could be like that, but it's not because I follow the order to the T.
Right.
So, but if I wanted to go off of that, I could, you know. Oh, right. You want to see him every day? Sure. But it's not like that.
So how did your children feel about you getting the divorce? Was it an easy journey or did they have some reservations? Did they go through the process of blaming, you know, either you or the dad for not, you know, making this work?
No, they tried to see me make it work. It got to the point where they were like, leave already. Like, just leave. We're tired of seeing him hurt you. Mm-hmm. We're tired of seeing you guys fight. And he made it a point that everyone that he was cheating with mm-hmm. or even had a child with, at some point in time, he brought my children around the woman. So my wow. kids know all these women.
Wow.
And I'm like, you don't need to do that, or you didn't need to do that. Why is it, you know, something that you feel you need to do?
The disrespect.
But, you know, now that children are involved, my kids need to know each other. They need to know their half siblings, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. But when you were just smashing these women, like, my kids didn't need to be around them because that was even before a kid came along.
Right.
You were just rude. Right. That's just rude.
Right.
So, whatever.
Did you move towards counseling for yourself and for the children? Because I feel like it should be kind of separate, more of, you know, family. Of course, you can, your kids need counseling. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's easy to speak to someone that is, you know, impartial, mm-hmm. right? And you're able to kind of, I think, explain the history more and kind of open up more. Mm-hmm. Did you guys go through a process of when your children have counseling? Have you started counseling as well?
We did family therapy for a little while. I had a couple of sessions by myself. I probably need to, just for mental health purposes, go back on somebody's couch real soon. But, mm-hmm. No, there was a point that we did family therapy for a little while. Mm-hmm. minus him. It was just me and the kids.
And how did that work for you?
It was fine because at that time I was worried about the children,
right,
and worried about myself and trying to hold it together and I guess continue to be strong and not like break down in front of them, because I'm one of those, you know, like I have superwoman syndrome. I have to make everything seem like it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like if there's a breaking point for me, something's really, really bad. I don't think that my kids have ever really seen me cry unless they just caught me at a moment, because in my mind, I have to be strong for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it was just about making sure that they were okay and being strong for them and helping them go through whatever emotions they were feeling and then doubling back and worrying about myself.
So during that time, I know you were being the strong mother that you can be. Did you have a support system outside of your household?
My friends and my sister, I call my mom all the time, you know. But outside of like, and I'm a very, like, I don't have a big circle. I keep my circle tight.
Yes. We know.
So, outside of that, no, but like my little circle is enough. So yeah, that was my support.
Now, no, we all went to go see Acrimony, honey. And we know that was, there was a few triggers in there. And before we leave this podcast, and loves, I suggest you see this as well, or if you're still going through your stages of, you know, kind of grief and anger and sadness and all those other emotions, probably not at that time, but once you're there, go ahead and see this movie. What's one of those triggers or in the scene, what was one of those things that related to something in your life?
Oh my gosh. So I'm going to let you guys know that I had to have a drink. I had to have like a Miami Vice to get through that movie. And so I made sure that I ordered it at the beginning because I knew that there were going to be triggers for me. But one of the things that really stood out was the fact that she saw the red flags, but because her love for him was so great, she kept ignoring them. And he was so charming and would manipulate the shit out of her.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was definitely a trigger for me because, like, I've lived that. You know what I mean? And I got real pissed off towards the end when I guess they called themselves trying to have an intervention. And after, I guess, a court proceeding, they brought the ex-husband and the chick back to her house. But why? When you know she's probably going to roll up. And she did. And she was like, why are they here? And why did you bring this chick to my house? Like, I felt her on that. Because, like, why would you bring a chick to my house? You know what I mean? So, I mean, there were just so many things. But, yeah, those were the two biggest things that stood out to me.
I guess on the next podcast episode, we're going to have to dig a little bit more on, you know, your feelings of the new chick or the side chick.
I don't have any feelings. I really don't. Let me tell you something. I don't know if it's my upbringing. I'm a product of Jamaican parents. And when I saw what my parents went through, I don't know what it is. Like, my mom has never really, my father's been married like twice after my mom. So he's been married three times. My mom has not really had any interaction with his second wife or third wife.
Oh,
mind
wow.
you, he has children with all three of these women.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, no, you know what I mean? And even when it comes to certain functions and stuff like that, like if we want our parents there, mom will probably show up and she'll, you know, she's at a point where, I mean, they were married so many years ago. She's cordial. And he doesn't faze her. But stepmama number two or number three, no. My dad will show up.
Right.
But just no. So, I don't know. Because I grew up like that, I feel like, you know, and with me, a lot it's principle. Like,
yeah.
I don't respect, like, the funny thing is if he was to, like, meet somebody off the street tomorrow. I would respect that chick because she wasn't sleeping with my husband when I was his wife.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody that he met fresh. there's no ill will towards her. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bitter or anything like that because you met her after the fact.
Right.
But because you decided to double back, and he didn't even double back to any of these chicks he had children with. Mm-hmm. It was just a random chick, you know, that I knew that he was being inappropriate with while we were married. I don't respect that situation. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if he marries her tomorrow.
Right.
No, you know, don't bring this chick up in my face. There have been times when, you know, I've had to deal with a couple of seconds of passing. Mm-hmm. Because again, he's disrespectful and rude. So if my kids have an event, you know, and he comes, he's going to try to have her on the arm, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just make sure I'm on the opposite end of wherever, because I go from 1 to 100 real quick. Mm-hmm. And so in order to stay sane where I need to be, mm-hmm. Right. I need to be away from the situation. I don't. Yeah, no. So
we got to get to the point where it's, I don't want to say necessarily okay, but where it's more of, okay, that's who he's with. That's just what it is.
I feel like that now. I just don't need to see it or be around it. Like, that's who you with. Cool. I don't need to see it or be around it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I wish y'all the best. Hey, do you. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be around it.
Yeah. And that may kind of stem from the upbringing of wife number one, number two, number three. It's almost like know your position. Hell, and it's set in your mind, like, this is what it is. You should know your position.
Yeah. As long as you don't say nothing to me, don't look my direction. I don't even need a hi. I won't take it as disrespect. Mm-hmm. No, not to talk to me. You know what I mean? We'll be cool. I'm good. You know, I just, you know, there's no need for pleasantries. Mm-hmm. He speaks to me. Okay, cool. Hey, how you doing? And I'm very standoffish because I'm still getting to a place where, you know, I'm still, forgiveness has been hard for me. And right. I'm one of those, I hold grudges. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely working on me. And even though, you know, in one of our court hearings, the judge made me forgive him in court, I didn't mean it. You know, I did it because she was like, do it. It'll make you feel better. Even if you don't mean it now, in the long run, it's going to be the best thing. Mm-hmm. So I felt like she was not going to let me out of her courtroom unless I forgave this dude. So I forgave him.
What was her act of you forgiving him? Like, to tell him you forgive him? To give him a hug? Like,
she wanted that too. I was just totally annoyed. I was totally annoyed. Because this is the thing. I usually have a serious face. I will admit it. I rock a resting bitch face 24/7. Mm-hmm. And I am proud of it. Okay. If I need to smile at something, I will smile. If something is funny, I will laugh. I'm just not a bubbly person 24/7. Right. Okay. And I'm definitely not a morning person. So if you catch me before noon, you're going to get the resting bitch face. So now it's like we go to court. Court is at 9 a.m.
Right.
I have a straight face on. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm not walking up in your courtroom smiling. Okay, I don't even like court. So you're going to get the straight face. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and she was like, you look bitter. Well, shit, I am bitter. And I have reason to be bitter. Mm-hmm. But that's not why we're here.
Oh, wow. You know? She called you bitter.
Yeah, she called me bitter. So I'm like, that's not why we're here. We're here for family law, mm-hmm. custody, whatever. But yeah, so after that whole, you look bitter, you need to let it go. I think that's what it stemmed from. I look bitter, I need to let it go. I need to forgive him. Like, she thought
so
that
she was added a couple more months to you not forgiving. Girl. Or you work on your forgiveness, right? Because all you do is relate it back to this. Like, you forced me to forgive way too early.
Yes. Like, can I please, like, go through what I need to go through on my own terms? Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted, you know? Nobody is getting hurt. I'm the one going through this process.
Exactly.
On my own. So, but yeah, that was a big thing for me. I was like, oh my goodness, did this just happen? But yes, grudges and forgiveness is a really big thing for me. And I mean, I'm very standoffish. I've just gotten to the point where I am saying more than one word to him at a time. Cause he used to ask me things. And of course we have to communicate because of our son, but he would get like one word answers and I would shut it down. How you doing? Good. What's going on? Nothing. so what time can I come by? Da-da-da-da. Whatever time. Like, very, like, no, nothing outside of the box. No extras. You ask me a question, you're getting that answer. I don't need to have a discussion with you. I don't care how you're doing, so I'm not going to ask you how you are.
Right.
You know, one of those things. So I'm just getting to the point where I'm just like, okay, let's try to be cordial for the sake of our son.
So are you ready to start the forgiveness process?
Baby steps. I mean, I can't stay where I am forever. So definitely I'm taking things one day at a time. So, yeah.
So, loves, the stages of forgiveness begins on the next episode.